Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We're going to focus on verses 1 through 30. This is God's word. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month. The first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people that are there. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or cooked in water, but roast it over the fire, head, legs, and inner parts. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate for the generations to come. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. For 7 days you are to eat bread made without yeast. On the first day, remove the yeast from your houses, for whoever eats anything with yeast in it from the first day through the seventh must be cut off from Israel. On the first day, hold a sacred assembly, and another on the seventh day. Do no work at all on these days, except to prepare food for everyone to eat. That is all you may do. Celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread, because it was on this very day that I brought your divisions out of Egypt. Celebrate this day as a lasting ordinance for the generations to come. In the first month, you are to eat bread made without yeast, from the evening of the 14th day until the evening of the 21st day. For 7 days, no yeast is to be found in your houses, and whoever eats anything with yeast in it must be cut off from the community of Israel, whether he is an alien or native born. Eat nothing made with yeast. Wherever you live, you must eat unleavened bread." Then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, "Go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into the blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of the door frame. Not one of you shall go out the door of his house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of the door frame and will pass over that doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your houses and strike you down. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of Israel in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. At midnight, the Lord struck down all the firstborn in Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the prisoner who was in the dungeon, and the firstborn of all the livestock as well. Pharaoh and all his officials and all the Egyptians got up during the night, and there was loud wailing in Egypt, for there was not a house without someone dead. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I've had the privilege of traveling to many beautiful places around the world, but my first trip to Israel, I felt as if I was coming home. The stories I had learned in childhood came alive as I visited the actual places where these events happened. The wonderful truth about our faith is that it isn't built on myths and make-believe. Christianity is grounded in the facts of history. To be able to walk in the places where Jesus walked, to look out over the beautiful Sea of Galilee, to enjoy the ancient city of Jerusalem, and pray on the Mount of Olives amid the ancient trees is an unforgettable experience. I took my wife and two of my children with me the first time I went to Israel. This time, I'd like to take you. Visit our website for complete details.
To learn more about this April 2019 travel opportunity with Jim Wood, visit wvr.org/Israel.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus...
It's hard for us to imagine what it would be like in our culture today, if suddenly in every home the firstborn child was killed. There was weeping and wailing and mourning. It was the judgment of God. Now, some people struggle with passages like this, saying, you know, how could God kill all those people? As we've said before, talking about some of these things, everybody dies. All of those people were going to die at some time anyway. What was miraculous about this was, on the one hand, the timing of God killing all of those Egyptians at once, but secondly, that none of the Israelites experienced the same thing. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. It is a miracle that God has allowed a means of salvation. It is amazing grace that offers us life. But when we read this story, I want you to see that not only had God planned what he was going to do in Egypt with the plagues, but what God did in Egypt with the plagues, culminating in this Passover experience, was because God had already planned how he was going to provide salvation for all who believe. When God said that the lamb was to be killed, that was because God had already ordained a lamb that would be killed. His name is Jesus. When John the Baptist is sent to introduce him, John introduces him, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." If you go back to the first sacrifice offered by man, it is that of Abel. We read in the book of Hebrews about how the account in Genesis still speaks today because what Abel did was the right thing. God accepted Abel's sacrifice, but not that of Cain. Cain brought fruit, things he had grown. Said, "Look, God, here's some produce. I'm going to give you a share in it." Abel offered a lamb from the flock, and God accepted his sacrifice. And Cain was jealous and killed him. But what he did and the testimony of his faith is still an example for us today. He is in the Hall of Faith, the Faith Hall of Fame. He's one that we look to as an example of one who believed God and did what God said. But even before Abel's sacrifice, which was the first sacrifice offered that we have record of in the Old Testament, offered by a person, there was another sacrifice in order to provide a covering for sin, in order to foreshadow what God was going to do to save us. It was the sacrifice that was provided by God when Adam and Eve were trying to hide their guilt and shame and nakedness with leaves. God said no and made a covering for them of animal skins. The animals had to die. The first sacrifice there was one that God provided. The animals that died because of man's guilt, God provided that. And it set the tone for what would be provided all through the Old Testament. God would give them very specific instructions about the various types of sacrifices that they were to offer. But over and over again, there was bloodshed. If you can't deal with this, I have news for you. You're going to have to. Because God isn't changing the plan. There are people who are just repulsed by the whole notion that God would demand bloodshed. God put our parents, Adam and Eve, in paradise and said, "You can eat the fruit of any of the trees in the garden except that one. In the day you eat thereof, you will surely die." Everything you and I have experienced has been since their decision to eat that fruit. They chose freely to disobey God. And the consequence for all the rest of us is that we are born into sin. All of us are born bent toward evil. We aren't sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That's the way we're inclined. All of us, we all mess up. We've all broken God's law. All of us deserve the death penalty. We all deserve God's wrath. The grace of God is shown in the fact that he provided a substitute to take the punishment in our place. And the substitute he provided was God himself becoming man. And he did that so that he could die in our place. The purpose of the incarnation, the reason he became a man, was so that he could die. It was so that our punishment could fall on him. That's amazing. That's why this is so important. And I want you to see that not only had God planned that Jesus would one day die in our place and provide us with salvation, both forgiveness and liberation, freedom from bondage. But that the means by which Jesus would be executed was already known to God and planned by God. Now, how do you get that? Well, notice that when the lambs were killed, they had to take a bowl and drain the blood from the animal, and then take that bowl of blood and a branch of hyssop, which is kind of like a brush, dip it into the bowl, and then mark the top of the door and the two sides of the door. Now picture that in your mind's eye. Someone going from the bottom of the door frame up to the top of the door frame, marking the top, and then the two sides. What are they doing? They're making the sign of the cross. They're making the sign of the cross in blood at the entrance to their home. And they are to stay inside that door. It is commanded no one is to leave. No one is to go out. The only place of safety, the only place of safety is inside, behind the cross, protected by the blood of the Lamb. That's the only hope for us today. I can't come to God on the basis of my fruit and vegetables. Look, God, look what I've done. I'm going to share some of what I've done with you. I'm going to give you some of my time. I'm going to do this and this and this, and I'm going to do this and this and this, and I'm not going to do that or do that. I'm bringing this to you in order to justify myself. I will be destroyed. Matthew 7, Jesus says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do this and didn't we do this in your name? And he says, I will say to them, depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. Why? Because judged on the basis of our own performance, all of us fail. Have you dealt with that? Or are you still trying to justify yourself? Remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus? He said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, you know the law. And he said, oh yes, but I've kept all those commands ever since my youth. Do you think he really had? No. Have you? No. Now you might have kept them if you reinterpreted them in such a way that, you know, I'm not really breaking the law. My favorite example of somebody who reinterpreted the law in order to try and justify himself was the Orthodox Jew who was, and this is not typical of all Jews, but this Orthodox Jew knew that on a Sabbath day you cannot travel a long distance unless it is over water. Okay? And so this guy who had a place he had to go that was going to be too far for it to count as a Sabbath journey, took a jar, filled it with water, put the lid on tight, set it under the seat of his car and drove, justifying in his own mind that he was traveling over water. Okay? You say, how could somebody be that ridiculous? Well, I'm afraid I've probably done things that are just as stupid. Thinking, well, I know we're not supposed to do this, but this doesn't count, does it? Well, can't we make this exception? Wouldn't this be okay? See, Jesus comes along, and instead of taking the law and saying, don't be concerned about that. It really doesn't, you know, it's not that important. Jesus comes and he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and teachers of the law, you will not be accepted by God. How can I possibly have a greater righteousness than these guys who memorized the first five books of the Bible? And man, they tithed their herbs from the garden. Legalistic precision. Jesus said, that's not good enough. And in the Sermon on the Mount, he takes us through one command after another and shows us what it really means. You've heard you're not supposed to commit adultery. But I tell you the truth. If you look at a woman lustfully, you've already committed adultery in your heart. You're not supposed to murder. But I tell you the truth. If you hate somebody, you're a murderer. So God's not just talking my outer behavior, he's talking my attitudes. So then how can our righteousness be greater than that of the Pharisees? How can we be perfect even as our Father in heaven is perfect? Because Jesus is absolutely perfect, completely without sin. Where is that in this story? That's what all this stuff about no yeast is about. The yeast was representative of sin. And so there was to be such a cleansing of the home that no yeast would be there, so that when they made unleavened bread, bread without yeast, matzah, when they made that, it would be a picture of Jesus, just as the lamb was a picture of Jesus. Jesus never sinned. He was born of a virgin, not born a sinner like you and me. And he bore the wrath of God in our place because he alone in history did not deserve the wrath of God. All of us deserve God's wrath. But God loved us so much that he sent Jesus to die in our place. That's why in John 3:16 it says, so that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Because apart from him, you will perish. Apart from him, you will be destroyed. There is no plan B. There is no alternative. Well, I don't want to receive Jesus, but I do want to go to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. So, all across Egypt, God brought death. But in the place where God's people were, God preserved life. God saved his people through the sinless Lamb of God. If you look at a piece of matzah bread, you'll find that it not only is unleavened, but it has stripes on it where it's cooked. That is a reminder for us of the fact that Jesus was beaten before he was crucified. The Bible says, by his stripes we are healed. You will find also that all through the piece of matzah bread are the little piercings that make it possible for it to cook evenly. The Bible says, one day they will look on the one that they pierced and they will recognize him as their Savior. You know what? Jesus took a piece of matzah bread when he celebrated with the disciples the Passover meal. He took that bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body. The picture was one that God had ordained. The only means by which God's people could be set free from bondage was what Jesus did for us. He is the Lamb of God. He is the bread of life. He is the King of glory.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.